Good evening, Harvest family. Come on in, have a seat. We'll get started this evening. So good to see everyone. Looking forward to another wonderful time of fellowship and service tonight. Again, I apologize for some of my blundering this morning. I'm not sure how much coffee I drank, but I think I was okay by the time I started preaching. But anyway, don't forget, this week, no, Wednesday night services moved to Tuesday night for a time of fellowship and pie and praise service on Tuesday night instead of Wednesday this week, and then back on a regular service. And then next Sunday night, we'll have missionary guests with us, Cody, Trevor, and family. They have a little infant and two little toddlers. It's their motorhome park there in the back. There were some sister churches here in the valley. But they're also going to see if they can't join us on Tuesday night for our pie and praise as well. And so look forward to a chance to get to know them a little bit better on Tuesday night before they're with us on Sunday. All right, let's all stand together. And we'll go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings upon our evening services. Brother Chair, would you open us, please?
Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just...
I'm going to do something a little different tonight. We just sang the song, Jesus, Jesus. We just said there's something about that name. Who would like to tell me something about that name tonight? He's dependable. I heard another one. He's my Savior. Amen. Brother Little John?
He's the King of the Universe.
Amen, Brother Cherry. Amen, Miss Agnes. Amen, yes, Miss Kate. Amen, praise God, Brother Dr. Mill. Amen, amen. Be saved. Amen, amen, Michelle. Long suffering patient. Amen, Miss Susan. Amen, amen. Boy, ain't God good? Amen, Miss Margot. Yes, He is. We say it again. If we did, amen. Well, some once in a while, we sing about that's good. Sometimes it's good to begin to say, okay, what about that name? What does it mean to me? What has he done for me recently? Not in a negative way, but reminding ourselves what God has done and how good He is to His children. Amen? I'll give an example of that is because I had lunch recently with a couple who's looking for another church. They're going to a Baptist church here in the valley, but they realize that the church has become woke. And so they're looking for another church. I would imagine if they come by here very long, they'll probably hang around. I don't know, but you'd be praying for them. And it was a blessing for them to share and be open and honest how they felt, what they're looking for, to hear their testimonies. That was such a blessing. All right, don't forget, before we have our offering this evening, this week, Tuesday night, we'll have our midweek service Tuesday night, Pie and Praise Fellowship. We'll meet over here first for a short period of time, and then we'll make our way over to the fellowship hall and have a time of fellowship and, of course, some pie as well. Looking forward to it. Yes, talked to Brother Draper this afternoon. It looks like they might let him go home tomorrow. Had a little rough night last night. I think it's most of the medication. I'm going to pick on Brother Draper. He had some bad dreams, and I wanted to give him such a hard time. He was trapped in the building and couldn't find his way out. And to him, that was a bad dream. To me, that's not that bad of a dream. But I asked him was, what I wanted to ask him was, who was a general contractor? Why didn't you build an exit? But so we'll have to give him a hard time about that. For those who don't know Brother Draper, he was a general contractor and carpenter, electrician by trade. But anyway, he seems to be doing well and got up, moved around, walked down the hall today. And hopefully they'll probably have him another longer walk down the hall tomorrow before they release him. But Lord willing, they'll let him go home tomorrow. Bridget said they've already set up medication at the pharmacy for her to pick up. So those steps are moving in that direction. So pray that will be the case. He's able to come home tomorrow. And if we can't, if he's not up to it, maybe we should take a portion of our men's fellowship and go knock on his door on Tuesday morning. We'll see how he's doing. Bridget would have a fit if we did that. I take that back. If you do that, don't say it was my idea. Amen. All right, gentlemen, if you come tonight for evening offering. Brother Leonard, would you please ask God's blessings on our offering tonight?
Father, thank you so much for this glorious day. Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for our pastor, for his wife, Father, for each member here, for each visitor that comes. We're so thankful, Father, for your son, Jesus, as we sing his praises tonight, as we reflect upon all the goodness that entails his being, his personality, Father, his all in all, Father. We know that there is none other like him. And, Father, we are so thankful that he is our Savior. Thank you, Father, for this evening. Thank you for the message that our pastor will give us tonight, Father. We thank you for all that you have in store for us. And, Father, just allow us to be a blessing to you as you've been to us all day. And and all week for that matter, Father. And as we just prepare for that, Father, as part of our worship, we take this offering now for those of us that can give back a portion of what you've given to us this week. Father, we thank you for the privilege and honor we have of supporting this ministry and all the ministries that are supported through us, Father. We thank you for the great privileges we are not entitled to, but Father, that we can offer back to you as our praise. So Father, just be with us tonight as we share this evening together. We thank you for the beautiful day you've granted, Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
This world affords today.
trust everyone has their Bible with them and have their handout for tonight. And we will be spending tonight, and I made tonight a little bit shorter than normal, whether I'll fill all the time or not, I don't know, because there's some important things I want to share. And I think it's important enough that I wanted to, there's four passages of scripture. We'll share two of them tonight, two of them on the 8th, because we'll have our missionary with us next week. And then the other two, the 3rd or 4th Sunday for tonight. And I want you to keep in mind, if you've got your little handout, I want you to, if a name comes to your mind, if an individual comes to your mind, I want you to write it down on your little handout. Because you know how it is, how sometimes we forget. And sometimes I think the devil helps us forget some things. And so if your name comes to mind, I want you to write it down. We're going to talk a little bit about stewardship of information tonight. And, of course, next week we have our missionary. But then after that, the two more Sundays, we'll talk a little bit about stewardship of information. So we'll go ahead and have a word of prayer. I'm not going to read all the texts because I have several. But we'll have some that's included in your handout. We'll look at them as we go along. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. And thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the joy of service, the joy of fellowship. Thank you for the privilege and opportunity, Father, Lord, for me and Michelle to serve here at Harvest Baptist Church. Thank you for the privilege of serving others. And Father, help us all have an aspect in the mind, Father, to look for opportunities to serve, to look for opportunities to be a blessing and encouragement to those that are around us. Now, Father, meet with us tonight. Pray that you'd help me. Give me clarity of thought, clarity of mind, and clarity of speech. And Lord, help us tonight to glean from the scriptures some things, Lord, maybe some new things for us, and maybe some things we've learned in the past, but maybe it's a refresher and a challenging refresher at that, Lord. But help us to apply some things in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in September of this year, on a Sunday morning, I preached on stewardship of self in the church out of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 10. We talked about time, talents, and treasure. And today we'll start a series, as I mentioned, on stewardship of information. Stewardship of information as we continue with our series on the local church. In the parable of the unjust steward who wasted his master's goods in Luke chapter 15, 16, verse 2 says, give an account of thy stewardship. In 2 Corinthians 4, 2, the apostle Paul said, moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. A steward is one who manages the affairs of another. Someone who manages the affairs of another. And every one of us is a steward of our own time, talents, treasure, life, and family. And we need to make sure that it can sound like, well, that's a whole lot, man, time, talents, treasure, life, and family. Yes, but God gives us enough time in the day. God gives us enough time in our life to be able to manage those, to steward those well in the way that he would have us to steward them. One day we are going to give an account, and when the Lord returns, we go to meet the Lord of our faithfulness in stewardship. So we're going to look at two of four passages tonight of scripture on practical truths related to stewardship of information. And kind of an idea of being former military, we have some military here tonight. I know there's several branches of service. There are some similarities, but there are also some differences. But we were, in order to advance in rank, in order to do well in the military, you got to be a pretty good steward of the information that you learn. You got to keep up not just with your uniform, parts of your personal life, but your job. You got some requirements, and as you learn and you grow in rank, you take on more responsibility. Some things within your job, other things in advancing that may be outside your job, but is in your oversight. Any way you look at it, it's information, and you are to steward it well in order to advance. It's the same thing in school. You went to school. Some of you eons and eons ago, Brother Cena wrote on a tablet, the concrete time, and now he writes on an electronic one. But anyway, we were to be good stewards of the information that was given to us to be good students. And we need to keep that in mind as believers and students of the Word. We need to be good stewards of the information we receive, that we learn, and how we use it and pass it on. Notice in our first passage, Psalm 78, verses 1 through 6. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and to stretch in his strength, in his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare to them their children. Here in this passage, we see five generations that are mentioned. First, our fathers. And then secondly, we see their children. And then thirdly, the generation to come. Fourth, the children which should be born. And fifth, their children. You see, the great-grandparents are to tell their children the precepts of God. And now as a grandfather, well, I'll get to that later. This is great-great-grandparent. I don't want to lead off with me as an example yet. Then we see the great-grandparents are to learn these precepts and pass them on to their children. The grandparents are to learn these precepts and pass them on to their children. You see the pattern. And the parents are to pass them on to their children. Nothing makes me more excited when I hear my granddaughters talking and have a little bit of a disagreement and hear Thea say, let's go ask Papa. He knows. Or if mom and dad are there, probably just because they were with us at that time or visiting for us that day. Because we look to them and we need to remind ourselves when we were young, the knowledge we received, especially the biblical training, especially the examples that we learned and that we are to pass them on. This passage teaches us that one generation is to teach another generation so that the next generation could do the same. Why? Let's look back at Psalm 78, verses 7 and verse 8. Still back in Psalm 78, verse 7 and 8. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And might not be, as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. A generation that set not their heart right and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Dear friends, we may have failed some things in the past. Our country may have turned in some areas away from God. But that does not mean we cannot reboot and pick things up and move forward. We are to be that godly example, whether it was passed down for us by our parents, our great parents, or our great-great-grandparents, whatever it may be, when the information is received, we are to take it and make sure that we're passing it down. And here's where that name comes in. We'll get to it again later. Dear friends, that does not just have to be our blood, but it also could be church family. It could be those that are adopted or grafted into our family. It doesn't have to be kids and grandkids. It can be somebody else's kids and grandkids that are part of our church, that are part of our church family that we can invest in. And I tell people, and I'll probably say again later in our study tonight, the best way to go about it and say is, Lord, I'm going to invest in this young man. I'm going to invest in this young lady. I'm going to invest in this couple like I hope somebody will my kids that are in another state, that are in another location. I'm going to invest in them and trust you to fulfill my faith and honor me, honor and reward me by me reaching out to someone else who has no one to reach them, that someone will do the same for my children, my grandchildren, my family that may be in another area. Second passage of scripture, Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husband, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Here in this passage, the Apostle Paul is telling us to pass on to the next generation sound doctrine. And we need to make sure of that sound doctrine. I mentioned to one of our men earlier today, and I don't want to go into a lot of details, but I've visited with a family who has been visiting with us, and they're not here tonight, but they've been visiting with us, that are looking for another church because their church no longer is preaching sound doctrine. Their church is no longer preaching the word. They feel they have compromised or gone another way, and they feel like they're more like the world and the woke and the DI than they are sound doctrine of the word. It is a shame, especially when that church also carries the same label denomination that we do. May not be in this, not in the same association by any means, but still the name. We need to make sure that our doctrine remains sound. And by the way, bear with me, this is free, not even in my notes. Just thought about it. How does a pastor, how does deacons, how does a church make a decision? Well, our doctrine is just too sound. We've got to slim this down a little bit to get the young people. Is that where it begins? I think not. But somewhere along the way, they begin to compromise a little bit. Or, well, I need to be careful. I better tiptoe around this area because I might upset somebody. You know, that's exactly what I was talking about this morning. I'm so glad I didn't get egged and the tires weren't let out of my car. You know, sometimes there is some hard preaching. But the bottom line is, it is good for us to be reminded. And sin has not changed. And sound doctrine should not change. And when we water down the gospel, we water down the truth, it has an impact. Same way medically. Brother Mel, how effective will my antibiotic be if I water it down?
Not very
at all. So if we don't want to if we don't want to water down our medication to help us physically, why do we want to water down God's word? Why do we want to pick and choose what we'll take? Man, if I want to pick and choose, I'll do it at the grocery store in the vegetable and fruit section, but not in the Bible. I'll pick and choose in the meat department and choose prime over choice, but I'm not going to pick and choose on the Word of God because it is all prime. We may not like it sometimes. It might get a little uncomfortable, but it's what we need. You see, the older generation of women here in Titus 2, verses 1 through 6 and verses 3 through 5 are to pass on to the younger generation of women sound doctrine. Ladies, I want to remind you and encourage you, keep on mothering. Not just at home and your kids and your grandkids afar, but the kids and families that come into our church. Mother them doctrinally. Encourage them to be faithful. Ask them once in a while. It may be even a remind them, you know, I'm not your mom, but man, I just want to encourage you because I love you. You know, put on that grandma smile, that mother smile. Just don't give them the mother look until you get to know them a little better. You know, the older generation of men in verses 2 and verses 6 are to pass on to the younger generation of men sound doctrine. We have a wonderful time on Tuesday morning fellowships, but we need to remind ourselves during the week, some of those fellowships might need to be one-on-one with a younger brother in the Lord. They might be close to the same age, but they may be young in the Lord. We need to make sure that we're encouraging them, calling them, reaching out, or having a time to sit down in fellowship. Again, the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. And it's good for us to do that for one another. You see, it is evident from this passage, we're not only to pass to them spiritual truths, but we are also to pass to them practical know-how of behavior. Practical know-how of behavior. You know the old saying, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, must be a duck. Let's make sure that we're walking and talking like Christians. Let's make sure that we're being godly examples, gentlemen, to other young men or young Christians around us. Ladies, other young ladies, that we're setting the right tone of the proper biblical behavior from the Word of God because they are watching and they are observing. I'm going to give you an example, and I'm sure I won't use her name this time because I forgot her name, but because it's not one of my daughters. But I can remember when we were in the military, and we had a teen girl that got saved. And her mom and dad was excited about her getting saved. It wasn't before long they started coming to church. She was coming without them on her own. And she was looking around one day, and she was talking to Michelle. She goes, you know, I'm looking around, and I know it's not every service, but on Sunday mornings, most of the ladies, a lot of ladies are wearing dresses. I don't know that I have a dress. I like to wear a dress or do something a little different on Sunday morning. And Michelle just smiled and said, God bless you. Just want to encourage her to be faithful and not try to put her in a box, just loving on her. And so she shows up to church the next Sunday in a party dress. And nobody said a word. I mean, I'm not sure if it covered her belly button or not. But no one said a word. Michelle sat down with her and shared her little blanket with her as she sat down and talked a little bit after the service. The point I'm trying to make is people notice when they watch and when they listen. They notice and observe the way we present ourselves the way we come to church and not looking like we just rolled out of bed and wore the clothes that we're wearing to church all night, or that we look like that's something we'd wear out in the yard working. What I'm saying is we need to make sure that people watch us and notice our behavior, not just in our appearance, but in our conversation, how we treat and talk about others and how we encourage others. We are to pass on practical know-how behavior. Christianity is more than just knowing the facts of the Bible. Come on, let's think about that. It's more than just knowing the facts of the Bible. It's more than just knowing that I'm saved. Christianity is living out those facts in our daily lives. Our walk with God. There should be some evidence. Our talk should match our walk. And our walk should match our talk. Christianity is more than being taught the message of the Bible. Christianity is passing on the practical truths to the next generation. In other words, latch on to the idea, Lord, I want to see someone saved and I want to see someone discipled. Lord, I may not be able to disciple, encourage, and help grow the one that I help grow. Maybe someone else may lead them to the Lord. That's fine, but I want to be a part in seeing people saved and people growing in the Lord. I want to be a mentor. I want to be involved in seeing the goodness of the Lord work in their life. And dear friends, just like the same satisfaction that you got, remember, like a long time ago, back when we used to have bill before cell phones and we would open up our wallets and all the pictures would come out of the kids and the grandkids and how proud we were of wanting to show everyone their kids, the grandkids, the nieces, the nephews, and the list goes on and on. We want to take the same pride and mentoring and bringing someone in as your Timothy in the ministry, your whatever that may be of ministering to them and to share with them and others and tell others and get excited. You remember how excited when that first child that you had walked. Boy, you had to call your husband at work. And that in those days is picking up the phone, making that call. She walked! He walked! Getting all excited. We ought to get just as excited about the one that we're mentoring, the one that we're bringing along into the Lord, when they begin to ask questions and when they begin to have some spiritual growth and they begin to say, you know, I started doing this today because I thought the Lord impressed on me from our conversations reading the Bible. Was that right? I'll tell you what, if that won't make you shout and say amen and jump up and down on the inside, I don't know what will. But as part of mentoring and teaching and being a good steward of information that God gives us. As men, we're to pass on to the next generation of sons these living truths in doctrine and in practice. So they in turn can have something to pass on to the next generation, their sons. Right now, my dad is a proud daddy in many aspects, has been for many years. Lord willing, I'm going to be going there with my brothers, meeting up with them. It's a good deal for me. I buy my ticket, I get to Florida, and my brother takes care of the trip to Florida, the lodging, the fishing, the boat, and everything else. Good deal for me, and I get to spend it with my dad and my brothers. And dad is so proud to see us boys involved in what we do. Now, my dad has a little family and a little farm. Just kidding, it's quite a big family. Anyway, dad had three boys and a daughter. Two of his boys are in the same business my dad was in, air conditioning, refrigeration, a residential and commercial. My younger brother did quite well, has recently sold his business and semi-retired. He's 10 years younger than I am. Dude did quite well. Daddy is proud. I've got another brother still in HVAC. Dad is proud. And he's no less proud of me to have the courage to step away and say, Dad, I'm going in a different direction. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to go to the missionary. I remember the day I told him, his tears streamed down his face. Just as much pride. You know, we should have the same pride, whether it be our own or whether it be a child of God in our church family that we're bringing along and that we're encouraging. It's a good idea once in a while to tell some of those that we're mentoring, man, I'm so proud of you. Man, I can't. Boy, you're just growing in leaps and bounds. God is working. I'm just so excited to be a part of seeing this. These are good things that are pleasing and honoring to the Lord. And we should desire to see those type of things and those that we are mentoring and bringing along and helping them to grow in grace and knowledge. Just like as our ladies, you are to pass on to the next generation of daughters these living truths in doctrine and in practice, so they in turn as well will have something to pass on to the next generation of their daughters. Oh, how exciting to sit back in an auditorium if you're able to be in a church long enough. And I know some folks that can do this, that can sit someone in the back of an auditorium and look out and see someone that they had a part in them seeing saved. They had a part in seeing them grow in the Lord. And now they're bringing along someone else. And the Lord tarries long enough, you might even see that third generation that started with the first generation that you helped along the way and encouraged them and helped them to grow in the Lord. And dear friends, we don't have to necessarily just see it in our church, but we also can see it in life no matter where they are located. I get excited from my military days and then pastoring a military church that in Germany, every once in a while to get a letter, a phone call, or a text message and say, "Pastor, we're expecting again." And a recent one where they named the little ones, used my middle name in their name. Just so excited and encouraging. They keep up with us. They'll go online once in a while and see what's going on. Or they'll come by and ask, "Hey, don't forget, the next time you're in East Tennessee, I'm getting ready to retire. I'm moving back to Knoxville. We got to get together." And several times through the years, we've gotten together with some of these families that sit around our table in Germany and ate at our table. Some of them later meeting at our table and getting married. Boys and girls, that is. Having the opportunity to minister to them. The young man that was here, if you remember, earlier this year, the young black couple that sat over here with the three children. They were in our ministry. And young Stephen, I met him when he first come to Germany from Africa to go to school on extension program. He called and said, "Pastor Cook, this is so-and-so. I'm in the air. I'm going to school. Can I get a ride?" And I picked him up every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night for over a year. And sometime later, in fact, if he was in our church today, I would definitely be talking to church about him being a deacon in our church. Godly man, a man of prayer. And he met a young lady in our church. They got married, had the three little ones, and they're still serving the Lord. And now he got into the Air Force. He's in the U.S. It was so good to see them. But when they're in the area, those people that you invest in, the people that you spend time with, they remember those things. I get text messages on my birthday and anniversaries or special occasions or the anniversary of when I led them to the Lord or they surrendered the ministry under the preaching. Those are things that we get back as we minister and serve the Lord that we can rejoice about in those children and great-grandchildren of ministry. See, this does not only include your sons and your daughters in the flesh, as I mentioned earlier, but also our sons and daughters in the faith. We need to make sure, again, that we're treating others the same way we want others to treat our kids or our grandkids if they're not here for us to minister to. Remember, the next generation is always the most important generation. Always the most important generation. I got a little note here. I'm going to see if I can get this right. I was reading over my notes this afternoon and made a note here. Things in America are different. And I look back over the years. I've talked to my mom and dad in the past. I've talked to some folks who live in Europe. When we went to Israel to talk to a gentleman there who's from Israel. And the things and how we do things are a little bit different. You go back far enough, most families raise their kids. Some of them got off a little slice of the land if they were farmers or ranchers. They stayed in the area. They saw it wasn't unusual to see second and third and fourth generations families living in the same area. Nowadays, especially in America, it's different. Some cultures even had it when the kids grew up that they moved in with the husband's family and they provided for them until they were able to build their own. Many houses we lived in Europe had two kitchens. One was for mom and dad, and one was for the young couple, the bride, that they used while they were there until they got their own place. And the point I'm trying to make, even though things are different and at all times our kids aren't right here with us because of so much reaching out, jobs, employment, we still have, all of us, the ability with our smartphones to talk to our kids. I mean, we can see their face on FaceTime, or Google and other things, or WhatsApp, whatever it may be that you may use, and see their face and talk to them and invest in them. Yes, there are still people today that are investing in mentoring via video, via phone calls, wherever they may be. The point I want to make here Are we being a good steward of the information we have? Are we teaching and discipling good, sound doctrine? Again, because the next generation is the most important generation. We want to make sure that we have it right and they get it right for the sake of those who come behind them. Dear friends, because morals, beliefs, and lifestyles can change dramatically from generation to generation, each generation always influences the next generation. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good, but we influence the next generation. So how will we influence the next generation? You know, Brother Sam made the comment this evening about we'll be a little old school tonight, and we're using the hymn books. You know, I tell you what, sometimes I long for old school in many things. But I also realize that I've got to realize that you can teach an old dog new tricks if the old dog's not too stubborn. And I know some things I've got to come along with technology. I know some things that would help me be more effective, and I'm trying to learn some of those things. But there are just some things I like to sit down with pencil and paper. There are just some things I want just basic. But whatever we use and however we do it, we just want to make sure that we are doing it and investing in the present and the next generation. It is the responsibility of the older generation to influence the leaders of today who can influence the young adults, who can influence the children. I know, I know the younger generation can be different. And I know at times it can be frustrating, but I've noticed some things about many generations. If you have a good story to tell, they don't mind listening. If you have an interesting story, a humorous story, they don't mind. We may have to tell some of those old stories. We have to tell some of those life experience stories and establish a relationship. When I was going to Bible college, I wasn't one of the old guys, even though I was to some of the kids out of high school, because we were in our late 20s and 30s. But me, even my late 20s and 30s, I spent most of my break time and most of my free time with guys that are much older than I was that had been in the ministry. I wanted to ask them questions. I wanted to learn from them. I wanted to pick their brain. And we may not always have that for the younger generation, but we should make an attempt to try to communicate with them, to get their attention, to establish a rapport with them. Psalm 89 and verse 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. And that is something we can all do. We can teach the old paths. We can encourage them and remind them. It's okay to say, you know, there's nothing good, there's nothing bad about using technology. And sometimes, I had a young person ask me once, why do you still use paper in your Bible? Why don't you use an iPad? Why don't you use a tablet when you teach? And I'm not knocking those who do. I'm just going to give you an answer why I don't, for me. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I finally got away from a legal sheet of paper and a pen to do all my notes and from my preaching from. I got away from that. And I got to the computer and typing out, and all of my notes are first I would still write it, then I would type it. And now I'm getting to where I begin to do it without using the paper and pen anymore. But I have a piece of paper, and I have my notes here in front of me, and I have my Bible. And I'll tell you why. Because on my iPad, I can't remember it's on the right-hand side back in the book of. I can't remember if it's Acts chapter 6 or 8, but it's in the left-hand corner of my margin. I know it. I'm comfortable with it. I'm familiar with it. So that's an effective tool for me. And the younger generation may come to the point where them was, well, they'll just take the time and they'll Google it. Well, many aspects I can find a lot quicker than Google it in my Bible, especially my study Bible. But whatever and however we do it, the main thing is that we're teaching them, whether you use your device or use the Bible, the most important thing is that it's used. I have an old Bible that all of my children have asked me for. Dad, one day, and hopefully before you pass on, the Lord returns, and I'd like to have your Bible. All of my kids. I think I'm just going to start raffling it off and see if I can raise some money for missions or retirement. And some of them I asked, well, why do you want my Bible? What is it? And one of my kids, well, two of my kids said similar things. Well, one is, Dad, because it was yours. Because it was yours. I said, well, I need more than that. And then one of my kids... asked me if they could go get in my office and get my Bible. And they went and got it, and I opened it up, and they opened it up. And he said, "Dad, because it smells like you. There are stains here. There's notes here. It's well-worn. And there's memories in there from my childhood, from your teaching, from me sitting on your lap and watching you make notes or make a note even in your column in your Bible outside of your preaching notes. There's things in your Bible, the stains and the tore pages, that bring back memories. That's part of the reason why I want your Bible." Those are the type of memories that we need to instill in our children, in our grandchildren, or other kids and children that we minister to, that we spend time with them, from the nursery all the way up. And to find to the point in the greatest compliment we could ever get to those that we minister to, whether they're our own kids or whether they're kids in our church family, is when they want to be like you. When they want to come along and sit with you during church. When they tug at mom and dad, "Can I go sit with sister so-and-so? Can I go sit with brother so-and-so?" Because they want to be there, and they'll watch you, and they'll copy you, and they'll sit along with you because you're beginning to build a relationship with them. And there's sometimes that things that we can do and say and teach that child or that teen may not listen to mom and dad about. But they might listen and observe somebody else. That's investing. That's ministering. That is stewarding information and things that God has given us. And we must be good stewards because the next generation needs it. And we need the next generation to catch it. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And we do thank you for your goodness and the blessings of joy and service and fellowship. Father, I pray your blessings upon our time, our fellowship, as we begin to dismiss and go about our work week this week. Pray that you'd help us all to evaluate some things. Lord, and maybe some of us had a name that come to mind when it comes to mentoring and encouraging. And Father, I pray that we take that to heart, that we begin praying for them even now, and that you might open up an opportunity to mentor, to encourage, to help them along the way of growing in the Lord. Father, help us all to be good stewards of the information that you have given us, the things that we have learned, and that we pass it on to the next generation. Help us to always remember how important this present and the next generation is, and how we must invest in them. Now, Father, bless us now. Dismiss us with your love. In Jesus' name.